So now I want to start and talk with you about tension. We mentioned three areas of battle that we all are facing. Just like the Earth itself, the planet Earth, is constantly under the pressures of tension, compression, and shearing. And that pressure is what causes earthquakes. If you ever wondered what actually causes earthquakes, it's because that's what's going on with our very planet all the time. But that's also what's happening to us all the time. The first of those pressures is called tension. We demonstrated it for you last week, and I guess Carol and I stood on opposite ends of a piece of paper and pulled it. So it's like a tug of war, and you and I are in the middle of this pull. So the force that pulls a rock or a foundation or a person apart, forcing opposite sides away from each other, it is the pressure of being torn between right and wrong. Anybody been under that pressure? And here is the scriptural foundation for what I'm saying to you about tension. The Bible says in Galatians 5:17, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the thing you wish that you wish." Another version from the New Living Bible says even better, "The old sinful nature loves to do evil, which is just opposite from what the Holy Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite from what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other." Anybody ever feel like you're in a fight on the inside? This is what's going on. And your choices are never free from this conflict. Just think about it. Every decision in your life is under this pull. Every decision. It's just that in some areas, you don't even think about it because your inclination has changed. And so it's toward God now. And so even though there's a pull, you hardly even notice it because that's become an area of strength for you. So you're just going on and do what God says. You're just going on and do what the word says. But there are other areas where that pull is pretty strong. Why? Because it's an area that's still in that process of getting renewed. Remember, we talked about from Romans 12 chapter, second verse, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the places in your life where it's still in that renewal process, you feel this tug and this conflict a lot stronger than some of the other areas that have already been renewed. But isn't it something that our choices are never free from this conflict? Tension or tearing will identify the faults. And faults are the places in us that are weak or broken. This is the place most likely to cave in under this kind of pressure. That is why fault is not only a behavior, but it is a condition. A fault is a condition. It's not just a behavior. Confess your faults one to another. So Carol and I have a fight, and I say, "I'm sorry for yelling at you." Now, that's half of the confession. I've just given her half a confession. Why is it only half? Because the only thing I confessed was what I did. Now, what's the rest of the confession? "I'm sorry I yelled at you. It's just that every time we're working on bills and we got, I can't handle it. It's always been like that for me. Whenever it comes to money and paying bills, I always feel like we ain't going to have enough. I always feel like, because I grew up that way, we never had enough. Lights getting cut off, gas getting cut off, all this. So every time it comes to money and stuff like that, I just go off. I'm scared." And see, that's the rest of it.
The condition is fear.
Yeah. That's what it means to confess your fault. Not just what I did, but now getting into the why. And the Holy Spirit, He will help you to start identifying the why. Isn't it so much better? You get into, and actually, for an open heart, the person that you're talking to, if their heart is open, it'll be a total surprise to them. God knows what he's talking about when he says these things in James, where it's just James was talking to the church and he said, confess your faults one to another. And look at what he said afterward, that you may be healed. Now, if we think about it from what we most of the time we think about confessing our faults, when we hear the phrase that you may be healed, you go, what does that have to do with me being healed? Just to tell somebody, I'm sorry for yelling at you. I'm sorry for cussing at you. I'm sorry for hitting you. What does that got to do with getting healed? Because if you only confess the deed, no, that's not what's going to bring the healing. That's only half of it. But once you start getting into the why, don't you know that healing is going to come not just for you, but for your relationship, both of you. That person is now going to, now they're getting more than just, you hit me. That's also why that level of confession seemingly never really works. Cause you know, you go, well, cause the person is thinking, well, it's okay that you saying, forgive me for hitting you, but how do I know you ain't gonna do it again? But once you get into beyond the, I'm just sorry for hitting you to, I don't know why I do this, but I watched my dad was always hitting my mom, and somehow I just got to thinking that that's the way to handle stuff, that you always use violence, that you hit. See, now we're getting to the why. That's what God is after. So now, see what God is, confess your fault, not just the deed, but the reason why. And here you can see, if you're identifying one that's particularly a tension or a tearing, ask the Holy Spirit to show you what tensions are tearing you apart. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you what tensions are tearing your relationships apart. Remember what we showed you, what the tensions are. It's going back to Galatians. Let me go back to that. These are the tensions. The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And so, I'll use some of the fleshly examples. So when there is the craving within your flesh for intimacy, for sex, when there's the craving in your flesh for attention. Yeah. I must be the center of attention. I gotta be in the conversation. I gotta. Why is that? God, why? And I know that I need to chill and quit jumping into every conversation. I know I need, but I can't help it. I keep jumping in because I feel a need. I have a craving within me to have attention. And even though I know I shouldn't be that way, I always want to be the, I want to be the hit of the room. I want to be the funny person. I want to be the star of the show. I know I shouldn't, but I can't help it. I'm torn on the inside. Says the flesh, the flesh lusted. It's in the one of the words is at enmity, and so it actually gets into almost like violently. It's a violence. It's this. It ain't just two people sitting across the room, and just no. This when it says the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, we're talking. Yeah. This is violent. So that's why sometimes within us, even though we know the will of God, but our flesh just goes, no, I ain't doing that. And it'll come out nicely like, okay, it's all right. It's okay. We'll say it can come out nicely like, it's cool. It's all good. But inside is, no, I ain't doing that. No, I know what the word of God says, but I ain't doing it. Why is that there? And so that's why I said, start off with that foundation of the security. That's when that insecurity kicks in and go, am I saved? Am I saved to still have such violent, strong opposition to what God wants? Oh boy, you find out how quickly the flesh is, how angry. Just go on a fast. Just, it's amazing that you can go all day and not eat because you're busy and working and everything. But the moment you say, I'm going to fast and I'm going to give this time to the Lord. You wake up in the morning, your stomach is all rawr, rawr. You wake up already hungry because that's how the flesh is. It's at enmity against God. So anything you say, I'm going to do for the Lord, I'm going to do it right, it just kicks in. Angry. No, you're not going to do it. If you was doing it for yourself, I wouldn't say a word. But because you want to do it for God, no. No, no, not for God. Yeah. Yeah. Man. I heard Danielle said this morning, say, get up, make yourself get up. Cause that flesh goes, no, I'll stay there. Oh, Jill, it's been a long week. Oh, those are the times when the bed just feels like, oh, the pillows and everything embraces you. Just 5 minutes more. And then you start looking at the clock and it says, and then you go, okay, I'll get up on the next quarter hour and 15 after I get up. And then when you wake up at 11, whatever it is, and it's 17 minutes past, then you go, okay, well, on the 30, when at the next quarter hour, I'll get up at, don't you? You go, okay, I'll get up at 8:30. Then you sleep till 8:35. Oh, okay, now I'll make it 8:45 because I got to get up on the quarter hour. And then when you wake up at 8:44, you go, just one more minute. Never just think about it. But if it's something that we want to do, man, you wake up all over again all night long. Can't wait. Can't wait till the time gets. Can't wait. But as soon as you say for God, no. That's why I said it comes out nicely. Sometimes I'll just sleep. But it's still that same enmity. No, not for God. Not for the things of God. So it's tearing at you. It's a war going on inside. Now, what happens when we give in? Here goes the salvation message. It don't mean that you're going to go to hell because you stayed in the bed. But it does mean that you could miss. I've done it. Times I got to a meeting or something that I missed, and everybody's come back. It was a powerful word. God brought deliverance. Miracles broke out all over the place. And you're like, I know I should have been there, but I let the flesh talk me out of it. Now, is it because your flesh knew that was going to happen? Because the devil was gone, knew all that? The devil don't know the mind of God. He don't know what's going to happen. All he knows is I'm going to keep you away from whatever is going to happen. Because the devil don't know what God's going to do. He's not omniscient. He don't know all things. He can't be everywhere all at the same time. He's not all powerful. Only God is. But his job is to keep us, period, just plain and simple, period, away from whatever God is about to bring into your life. Isn't that something? Wow. So isn't that something, that tension? So, Lord, show me the tensions that are tearing me apart. Oh, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I just never seem to be able to do it. It's not in every area. But you know the areas in your life. You know, I know the areas in my life where there's still real strong tension there. Thank you, Lord God. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you what tensions are tearing your relationships apart. Because the same kind of tension can be between you and another person, just as there is the battle that's going on the inside. Now, here's the thing that's really key about that. The tension that's happening between you and another person is because of the tension that's happening inside of yourself. Isn't that amazing? Because they're in as much a battle on the inside of them as you are with what's going on inside of you. So you find yourself battling with them because they're trying to hold on to whatever security that they need, and you're trying to hold on to whatever level of security that you need. And thus, the battle begins, and you both start pulling away. And rather than money, I'll use marriage again as an example. Rather the battle is over money, the battle is over sex, the battle is over control in this relationship, believe me, it starts with whatever's happening inside that husband, whatever's happening inside that wife. And so they both approach the marriage with all this tension and the level of control or security or the money or whatever affection that I need. And that person is going, well, I got something that I need. And now can you see the battle? I need, she need, and you tear the relationship. It's on a strain. And if you, and then you, there are times when you say, okay, I'll give in. I'll give in. And then this cold, unfeeling, unappreciative person takes all of what you gave and just go, thank you. And they just pull it all to one side. Well, I thought there was going to be give and take here. But they don't even realize they did that. Can I tell you that they don't even realize they did that? Because what you are doing now and you giving in, as far as they're concerned, that was just reasonable service. You are giving what you feel is your all. And they're giving you, they, it's for them, you're just giving no more than just what is expected. Now sets up a whole nother level. Now it heightens to a greater level. You don't appreciate, you don't. And they're going, what is all this coming from? Well, you don't appreciate because I've been. Now, here's the other part. Then they start naming off things that they said and did that you thought was just reasonable service. You haven't really sacrificed. And they're going, it was a sacrifice for me. Woo. I remember one of when we were, I don't just want to leave this in the context of marriage, but I got to use this example. And Carol and I, since we used to teach a premarital class, we would say, now, two of you are going to come together in marriage, and one of you is going to think that you're really sacrificing if you let the other person use your soap. And this person will think, man, no big deal, because the way I grew up, we only had one bar of soap in the house and everybody used it. But if your background is everybody has their own soap, then you feel like it is a sacrifice to let them use your soap. But if that's not their background, they're thinking you ain't doing nothing special. Wow, isn't that something? I really thought I was doing something special by letting you use my soap. And they're going, what? It's just soap. Now, another person, I'm going to take it to another level. Now, would you share a toothbrush? See? You got some people that go, you left your toothbrush? Oh, here, use mine. And the other person goes, no, I can't use your toothbrush. And now the one who gave it is hurt and offended. Yeah. Isn't this something? I love talking about the dynamics of relationship, but it's because that's part of the tension and the tearing. You come from so many, all of us in this room, we come from so many different backgrounds and walks of life and experiences and everything. And that's why I know that the Lord is putting his finger on it. Don't confuse cause with effect. I think I already mentioned that. We don't communicate. If you say, what's the matter with this relationship? And I come to you and you're the marriage counselor. And I come to you and I say, we don't communicate. That's the problem with me and Carol. We don't communicate. And from what you have learned today, you would look at us and say, no, that's a result. The fact that you don't communicate, that's the result of another problem. You keep saying the problem with us is that we don't communicate, but that's not the problem. That's the result of what? And we're bringing up one of the issues. There's a tearing. You're torn on the inside between the desires of your flesh and the desire of the Spirit of God. And so you keep giving in to the desires of your flesh. And so I use a man example. And the desire of your flesh is, don't say nothing. Give her the silent treatment until she figure out what she did wrong. Because if I have to tell her, what she did, then that could mean that I was wrong. It could mean she doesn't have a clue, and this is all me. But I'm going to give her the silent treatment till she figure out what she did. Because this ain't me. This is her. Now, I could give in to the flesh that says, give her the silent treatment. Or do what the Spirit of God says. Confess your fault one to another. Because that means now I got to humble myself. It means I might have to say, I'm sorry. It was me. It might mean I have to say, forgive me. Wow, ain't this tough? Now let me go back to my opening. Aren't you so glad that this has nothing to do with the penalty of sin? That what God is working on now is my sanctification, my separating. Here's the thing that's so precious about this. As he's making me work through this, it's separating me from the stuff that was inside of me, the poisons, the experiences, because all of us have had such negative things to happen to us. I believe that most of us have forgotten most of the stuff that has happened to us. Heard this one, this phrase from an old man talking to a young man, said, boy, I done forgot more stuff than you know. Think about that one. I have forgotten more stuff than you know. I think that that's where most of us are. We have forgotten more stuff than we are aware of. And it's buried down. And right now we just respond out of things that are buried down deep. You don't know why you get uncomfortable around certain people or in certain situations, because it's something that happened when you were in kindergarten that you'd long forgotten about, but you told your little 5-year-old self, nobody will ever. You didn't know how to say it then, but that was the, that was what got a hold of you. You couldn't put it in words back then, but while you were crying and everybody was laughing at you, it was, this will never ever happen to me again. And then when it happened again anyway, when you were 7 and 10, and especially those horrible teenage years where people are ruthlessly, cold-bloodedly say stuff and laugh and make fun of just about everything. Of course, in the teenage years, everybody makes fun of everything about everything. And so now here you are, and just certain things, if someone looks a certain way, if you see a couple of people across the room and they look in your direction and they're kind of like, and you just automatically figure, they're laughing at me. Yeah. Woo. Tearing. You're torn up on the inside. I know why a lot of people don't go to church. What I'm talking about right now, it wasn't even stuff that happened in church. I'm talking about everyday life. And you get to church and stuff that happens in everyday life gets magnified. Most of the time, the people, they don't even know you, wasn't even thinking about you. And even if they were, let's go back to, they don't even know you. So even if they are talking about you, they don't know you. So why is it hard to get past it even though they don't know you? Because your 5-year-old self said, I will never, ever be in this vulnerable position. So you know how to say it then. You couldn't use no big word like that. But that's what got in your spirit. I will never be vulnerable to people ever again. Wow. Yes, Lord. So come on in this moment. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Show me the areas where I'm torn on the inside. where even in spite of your word, Lord, show me what's my usual response, how I've been responding every time there's tension. Sometimes you get, there's anxiety. Sometimes you get angry. Sometimes there's depression. I know when I've been under tension, I'll start working. That was mine for years, wasn't it? My wife called me a workaholic. When there's tension and pressure, I work. Here's another one, sleep. Sometimes it's just escape. When there's pressure on my life, think about how you respond. When there's pressure and tension, I just escape. I just go to sleep. Sometimes there's irritation. I like this one. Don't you like this list? Irritation when there's the tension. Irritation. Just irritated with everything and everybody. Don't look at me. Don't talk to me. Don't come around me. Anybody ever feel like that? Now, and I'm not even, see, now that's why I love the foundation. See why I keep going back to it? I'm not talking about your salvation. I'm just talking about the areas in our life where God, he wants to come in and now show us why we do. You ever wake up sometime and you just don't feel like people? Just don't talk to me. Don't look at me. Don't just, and you get to work and you're already set up. Just, don't. If you get on the elevator, you're staying way over on the other side. And don't say good morning. Don't look at me. Why? Tension. This is your usual response to tension. Because on your mind is all just life, relationship, everything. The stuff I know, in other words, see, the pull is between right and wrong. The things that I know I'm supposed to be doing, and the stuff I ain't doing. So it creates tension. And when you're in that tension, I don't want no. Don't look at me. Don't talk to me. Just that tension of knowing you're in a battle between what I know I'm supposed to be doing with my life and what I'm actually doing, it creates this irritation. Sleep, get away from it. Work, a workaholic. That's me, y'all. Lord have mercy. Just work and work. Work 70 hours, 80 hours. Just work, work, work. It's terrible. I was killing myself. Impatience. Here's one that you probably see a lot on your jobs. Domination, control. People who are in the battle and in that tension, they're trying to control everything and everybody. They want to know what everybody's work schedule is and where everybody's going and who's going on. And not just on the job. They all get all in people's personal business and everything. Control. Control. Because why? It makes. Gotta stop. And the final one, yeah, tension. Do you run to sex under tension? Fantasy, pornography, fornication, adultery, even homosexuality. Whew. The battle between what I know I'm supposed to be doing and what God's word actually says. Many, many people have run to sex as their drug. And it's really true. Here's another one. Eating. I just feel so much better. Shopping. I get on a high. Come on, don't come under no condemnation. I ain't gonna look at nobody. My wife once told me something, and I found this in some of her research. She expressed to me on these two areas in particular. It's the same thing with men and women. But she told me that I know that with men, there is a chemical that's released in the brain when it comes to sex. There's a chemical that's released in the brain. And so it's not so much the sex act as they love the euphoria that comes, that just settles them and relaxes them from all the tension. Now, because God made women relational, you're going, so how can you just be with me and then just cast me off to the side? And because all he really was after was the euphoria, just like somebody takes a hit of a drug. Just like, and so they'll turn to, and even though we are looking at, none of these are good, fantasy, pornography, fornication, adultery, homosexuality, I didn't put masturbation up there, could go up there also, but you'll be looking at the act. So here I'm here to tell you, don't focus on the act, it's the why. Go to the why. Why? Why? Male and female, why are you running to this for that sense of peace? Because that's really what it's about. See, it's attention. So they run to this for peace. Same thing, my wife says, I didn't know this. When we eat as human beings, chemical is released in our brains. We feel better. We're supposed to feel better when we eat. But there is a chemical that's released when we eat. So that's why you can run even though you're not hungry. So why am I eating even though I'm not hungry? Because this tug, this tension, and I want the peace that comes, the comfort that comes. Same thing with shopping. Anything inherently wrong with shopping? Anything inherently wrong with eating? No. But what we're looking at, remember what we're talking about. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal your usual response to tension. Lord, what do I run to when I'm being pulled, when there's a tug? That was a bad one for me. I used to like to take the card and just go. I was always bringing home some gadget. You know, I love the electronic stuff, wouldn't I? Mm-hmm. So when bills were high and all that kind of stuff, just go and buy me something to... I was always buying some. I've been an electronic person forever. Or even just go buy some music. Just go buy a new album of somebody. Albums, yes, that was old school. Yeah, we actually had the big huge vinyl disc. They were like, wow, y'all had to listen to music on a big old huge thing like that. Yeah, but I'd just go and buy an album because I just needed to. Just the comfort, just from all this, just going to work and coming home and bills to pay. And so just go and buy an album and listen to Earth, Wind, and Fire. SOS band. Okay, that goes back too far. George Duke. Okay. Now you see why I said don't just look at the acts, because then we go into alcohol and drugs, escapism, withdrawal. Here's the really difficult one, suicidal thoughts. All of this is part of tension. So, Lord, show me how I usually respond when I'm in that, when I'm being torn. What's my usual response? Because I want you to change the inclination of my heart. Right now, I'm inclined to do this. I can't tell you how many times I've ministered to young men in particular because they would come up and say, Pastor Chris, I want you to pray for me because I got a lust problem. And so I would talk to them along these lines. And I can't tell you how many times I've said, no, I've told them, see, your problem's not lust. It's not a lust problem. It's you're torn. And this is your fault line. This is your broken place. You keep running to this for comfort. But the real issue is it's where you're broken. Yeah. And so now ask the Holy Spirit to show you why. Are you running to this for peace? What is it that's really going on in your life? What is it that happened in your life in the past? One of the greatest things that happened to me. Go ahead.
Add just another why. And why do you not turn for God?
That's a very important. Why do I not turn to God for that peace?
For that need. For that comfort. Yeah. For the security.
Yeah.
Why don't I turn to God?
Because even that can become, and I'm glad you said that, even that can become part of the fault line. Part of the broken place where you feel like, well, I did turn to God, or I felt like I did before, and nothing ever happened. And I've been challenged on that one many times. I don't have a one-size-fits-all answer for that, but I can tell you this, and that is that when you come to those places when you feel like I already tried this before with God, here is where I encourage you to try one more time, and this is the difference, and that is, did you understand last time you tried this? Did you understand your security in God? That's why I love beginning with the issue of our security and our salvation. So the last time you tried this, did you understand your security in God? The last time you tried this, did you know the difference between confessing the deed and confessing the source, the real reason why I do what I do? So this time, as we approach the Lord, it's not based upon me trying, you and I trying to measure up to God's standard of perfection. It's not about me trying to make promises to God that I'm going to stop doing this and I'm going to stop doing that. Now it's just straight up, Lord, okay. As for as long as I can remember, every time I'm under tension, it's always been easier for me, seemingly, to get a drink or to get somebody. Or it's always seemingly been easier for me to just go and hang out with my friends and kind of talk and just party it off. It's just, and I've been hurt. When I asked people at church, a pastor, a friend, they didn't really have the answer. So you have to go there with God. That way you get it really fixed this time. And so, Lord, help me this time. Now I understand. This ain't got nothing to do with my salvation. You're not looking at me as if though I'm not saved. And now I'm coming talking to you about all my faults and sins so that I can get saved again. That's not what this is about. Now, as your child, I'm coming to you and saying, Lord, heal my broken place. As your child, I'm asking you, Lord God, to show me the inclination of my heart. Heal me, Lord. I was born personally, talking about Chris Green. My mother was pregnant with me when her two-year-old son, he was the youngest at the time, strangled and died. He was eating grapefruit at breakfast. They were on their way to vacation Bible school. So here's her youngest child. Suddenly, unexpectedly, he's gone. She's pregnant with a child, and that's me. I'm in her womb while my mother is screaming and grieving. This happens in July. I wasn't born until September. So for 2 months, I'm literally washed over in her womb with grief. So when I came into the world, I was the saddest, most pessimistic, depressed child you could ever imagine. I never expected anything to go right. Never. It is still a battle for me to this day to expect things to go right, because I was born in the midst of probably the worst thing that every mother in here you could ever experience: the loss of a child. I was born in the midst of that, so I had no expectations for anything to go right. And because of that, all the stuff that my fault lines and everything that began to break out, I kept thinking, just like so many young men, I kept thinking, I got a lust problem. I got a shopping problem. I'm thinking suicidal thoughts. I love sleeping to get away from everything. Until the day the Lord put his finger on it. Here it is, Chris. You were born in the midst of death. All of that became a part of you before you even got here. You're broken there. Isn't that something? When the great physician, God Almighty, can identify, and I can't do that for each of you in this room. Only the Holy Spirit can take you back and let you see. And if some of you, it may have been before you were born, like me. There's no telling what your mom was going through before you were born, right after you were born. Things that you've experienced throughout your life that begin to shape your heart and your mind about how you saw yourself. Then when you combine that with this religion, and doctrines and teachings that demand perfection. You've got to, you know, yeah, Jesus died for you, and then we feel real pitiful. Yeah, Jesus died for the horrible, lonely sinners, and yeah, I know that. But now that I belong to him, well, it's up to you to keep it. How can I keep it? I couldn't even get it. I couldn't get saved on my own. How in the world am I going to maintain something? You know what that's like to put on people? That's like giving someone, that's like Jesus picking up a ton of weight. That's our sin. Said, I've got it. You're saved. Now, from this point on, you. But the Bible says, here's the words that John the Baptist used when he saw Jesus. He said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away, thank you, Lord, the sin of the world. He took it away. So all the tension and the battle that's happening inside of us, what I'm getting at is God took away the right and the authority that the enemy has been exercising over us to keep plaguing us in that area. Isn't God good? And now he just, here he is, he's saying, okay, one more time, believe me, one more time. Here's the work. Now I'm about to give you something real heavy. Here's the work. Believe God. Believe God. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we believe you. You did something special in us today. Had us to talk about a lot of stuff, but Lord, we believe you. Come on, make it real personal. Lord, I receive. That's all it is. Lord, I receive. I'm taking the full benefit. Lord, show me how to take the full benefit of what was really done on the cross for me. You died for my sin, but Lord, you also died for my life, for my whole life, for every part of my life. You didn't just die so that I would make into heaven, but you also died so that I could live my life to the fullness of the purpose of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So I declare to you guys, you are healed. You are healed. You are healed. And I break the power of condemnation that would come upon you and say, boy, I wish I had known this. I wish I had known this 5 years ago. I wish I had known this 10 years ago. Oh, no. Don't even get into that one with the enemy. The issue now is deliverance has come. Yes, Lord God. Freedom has come. Oh, we bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It just means you're just going to love the Lord that much more. Thank you, Lord. Jesus gave that parable to help his disciples see that the people that have been forgiven much, they love much. Thank you, Lord God. I'm looking at some people who love God real bad. If I could say it, you love God real hard. Ones who've been